It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day, and asparagus is one of the first tastes of spring, with harvest starting before you can even plant most of your other vegetables. We will answer your questions later in the hour about any of the plants in your life, but we're going to start off today with Asparagus 101. And with me, Iowa State University Extension horticulturist Richard Giron. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And Ajay Nair, Assistant Professor of Horticulture at ISU and Extension Vegetable Specialist. Hello, Ajay.
Good morning, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here. And Ajay, I have to tell you, I have two asparagus patches at my house, one in our garden that we planted 6 years ago, and the other that spontaneously appeared in our ditch. And guess which one performs better?
Is it the one in the ditch?
It is the one in the ditch. So how is it that a plant that can just spontaneously get planted by some friendly birds in a rural ditch and thrive there? Why is it difficult to cultivate asparagus sometimes?
Yeah, I think the one in the ditch, it's not being disturbed. There is enough organic matter in the soil. There are nutrients that that plant can tap into. And, you know, growing in the ditch, that plant has become tough. It is competing with the weeds well. And I believe it's more based on the soil and no human intervention as well, because sometimes when we intervene, things can go the wrong way. But I'm happy that you are growing asparagus and you are excited about asparagus.
And we've got our two patches. So let's talk about planting asparagus in your garden. It's something that a lot of people want to do and a lot of people do successfully. Where do you start?
I think it's a great crop to grow for homeowners and backyard gardens, because this is a crop which is going to be there for the entire, you know, maybe 20, 25 years. So I have seen cases in which people have planted asparagus when their kids were born, and the plant is still there when their kids are going to college.
Wow.
So it's a good connection, you know. How can you make a human connection with a plant and a kid, like how we do with trees? Oh, I planted this tree when you were born, and this is this big now. So that's a good thing. With asparagus, it's one of the harbingers of spring, right? Right now, if you look outside, and in some cases, I was talking to my colleague Denny Schrock today, and he mentioned that he harvested his asparagus a couple of days back. So that's exciting to harvest something in April, which is fresh and tender, which can go on the grill. So it's a great crop that fits a homeowner backyard situation.
All right. Now, there are varieties of asparagus. When you decide what to plant, what do you need to take into consideration when you're picking your variety?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you have to start with a good performing cultivar or variety. There were older varieties and cultivars that were planted, you know, maybe 10, 15 years back, the Mary, Martha, or Waltham, Washington cultivars. Those are non-hybrid cultivars. So now we have more advanced form or level of performing cultivars. For example, the ones that came from New Jersey, the Jersey Knight, Jersey King, Jersey Prince, Jersey Giant. These are hybrid cultivars and all male lines. Now, in this age, I do support, you know, equal pay and equality and all that. But when it comes to asparagus, I would like to plant a cultivar which is all male lines. That is because the male cultivars perform better than the female counterparts. When you use a male cultivar, they yield higher. They are a little bit more tolerant to diseases and pests. They emerge earlier. And, you know, overall, they are in production for a longer period of time. So if you are planning to plant asparagus, go for hybrid cultivars that are all male lines.
All right. And they'll have a male name?
that's true. Most of them are like the Jersey King and the Knight, you know, and the Supreme and the Giant.
All right. So you can take a pretty easy guess there. And how do you buy asparagus when you're getting ready to plant? What do you bring home?
Yeah, so asparagus is the starting material for asparagus is called a crown, a 1 or 2 year old crown. So there are businesses that invest time and labor and effort in just growing the crown. And crown is like a 1 or 2 year old asparagus plant. They dig the plant out. So when you get when you bring this crown home, this is like a small piece of a root tissue or a root biomass. You need to buy a crown that is healthy. It should not have any brown lesions. It should be nice and plump. It should be big enough, not very small either. So a crown is the starting material for asparagus planting.
All right. Now you bring them home. How do you plant them? Is there anything special you need to think about?
Yes. So asparagus, before you even think of ways of how to get it into the soil, you have to make sure that the patch which you decide to put your asparagus is free of weeds, especially perennial weeds, you know, nutsedge and Canadian thistle. You don't want to put an asparagus in such an adverse condition because that plant is going to be there for 15, 20, maybe 30 years. So need to select a well-drained soil, a patch which has well-drained soil, free of weeds. Asparagus is usually planted in trenches, and these trenches are about 4 to 5 feet apart. Each trench, depending on the soil type, should be about 6 to 8 inches deep. You put the crown in there, and the crowns within a trench are spaced anywhere from 12 to 16 inches apart. So the rows or the trenches are about 4 to 5 feet, and within the trench, the crowns are anywhere from, you know, 12 to 16 inches apart.
Should you mulch the ground or anything to try to prevent weeds from encroaching?
If you are starting a newer patch of asparagus, I would, you know, the previous season or the fall, I'll go make sure that, you know, you clean the weeds either with Roundup or you can, you know, till and cultivate and keep the patch clean. When you plant in those trenches, you would apply your fertilizer, especially the nitrogen and the phosphorus and the potassium, right at that time of planting. And then you slowly fill these trenches up and keep the patch clean. You can, if you are a commercial grower, I would recommend using a pre-emergent herbicide. But homeowner situation, it's just good to just use mechanical, you know, ways by hoeing and keeping the plot clean that way.
All right. And then comes the really hard part, because you're not going to have immediate success with your asparagus. How long do you have to wait?
I know that. And that's sometimes a little frustrating, right? You plant this year and you can't harvest for the coming rest 2 years and maybe after only after the third or fourth year. So when you plant your asparagus, let's say you plant it in the spring this year of 2017, obviously, the plants are just going to get established. I would not harvest in 2018. I would not harvest in 2019 either. In 2020, I would start harvesting, but not on a big scale. I would maybe pick my patch anywhere from 8 to 12 times. To give you a perspective, an established asparagus patch is harvested for about 22, 24 times, picked 22 to 24 times, and that happens within a time span of about 6 to 8 weeks. So 2 years, don't do anything. Just make sure you keep the patch clean of weeds. And the plants can, you know, produce the fern and produce that carbohydrate that goes back into the crown, and they come back again next year, you know, in a more healthy way. And from the third year onwards, as I said earlier, maybe eight to 10 pickings. And then from fourth year, you can go ahead and do the full picking of about 20 to 22 times.
All right. And how will the asparagus spread? Like, let's say you plant this year and you're going to harvest in that fourth year. How many plants do you need to plant now to have what you would consider to be a really full crop?
It would depend on the area. You know, within the trench, we recommend anywhere planting from the spacing between crowns to be 12 to 16 inches. Now, it could be a 10 feet patch. It could be a 50 feet patch. But on an average, and this is based on some of the research that has been conducted, if you have a patch of about 50 plants, you can expect anywhere from, about 70 pounds from that 50 plants. So it's about, I would say, 2 to 3 pounds from a plant in a season.
All right. 50 might even be hard to get through.
the asparagus, you know, I think it's better to plant early, again, making sure that the plot is clean And then have a sizable amount of plants in there so that you don't want to just go and pick few, you know, spears every time. You want at least a pound in your hand.
So how do you know when it's time to stop picking every year?
I was talking to Richard here before the show started, and he mentioned the exact same thing, that's the question he gets most often. So as I said, you know, on an average, you can pick about 18 to 22 times. That's one indicator. The second thing
I'm not going to count.
Okay.
Okay. I need another indicator.
Okay. So the other indicator is as you harvest, gradually get a feel of, you know, are the spears the same every time you're harvesting? Is the spear diameter going down? Usually, a normal size of a spear when we recommend harvest is about 3/8 of an inch. So if you see that, you know, more than 50% of your spears are less than 3/3/8 of an inch in diameter, that's a good indicator that the plant is, you know, showing stress. You know, it has run out of gas. Now it needs to turn those spears into ferns and, you know, photosynthesize and produce those carbohydrates and replenish it in the crown.
All right. Now, once you let those ferns grow, is there anything else you need to do the rest of the year, or do you just wait until the next spring?
One thing which I would like to make sure here, oftentimes what I've seen is when the harvest season is over, people just abandon their patch and they don't worry about the weeds that are coming.
It works fine in the ditch.
So I would say, you know, go in there, clean up the field. You have to apply your nitrogen. That happens at the last harvest. We recommend on a per acre basis about 35 to 50 pounds of nitrogen per acre. So you have to do that. Phosphorus and potassium is applied at the time of planting, so you don't need that. And another reason of keeping the patch clean is because you don't want weeds growing there where the insect pests can come and harbor, you know, especially asparagus beetle, asparagus minor.
So keep weeding and fertilize,
yes,
and then wait for spring.
Obviously, yeah. And you already enjoyed the asparagus, so look forward to the next year now.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment with me, Ajay Nair, Assistant Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. ISU Extension Horticulturist Richard Giron will join us as well. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day. We've been talking about asparagus so far, but we are here to answer any of your questions about the plants you'd like to grow or grow better. You can give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me, Iowa State University Extension horticulturist Richard Giron. Ajay Nair is also here, Assistant Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State and Extension Vegetable Specialist. And we've already got a lot of questions coming in. And not on asparagus yet. maybe we answered them all.
Maybe they are harvesting their asparagus,
maybe. All right, here's a question from Larry in Elkader. Day lilies are spreading into a prairie we've planted. It's probably too late to use glyphosate this spring. Any other ideas on controlling the lilies?
Well, you basically have two options, I think. One is digging and physically removing them, or glyphosate or Roundup.
All right. And digging the daylilies, that should work, right?
It depends. If you're talking about that kind of ditch lily that we see along the roadsides, kind of a brownish orange, that is a very difficult plant to destroy. Because if you leave parts of the root in the ground, those parts sprout and it comes back. So if it's a more cultivated variety, they're pretty easy. But that ditch lily is very hard to control.
All right. They grow in our ditch alongside,
yep,
our asparagus. Will they outcompete prairie plants?
I think they will.
Okay.
Because they're very, very dense. That foliage is very dense, and it crowds out neighboring plants pretty effectively.
All right. So Larry wants to get on this,
yes,
before it becomes a problem. All right. Here's a question from Lou. I've been engaged in a long to establish Virginia bluebells by transplant. Usually I'm forced to use plants dug up in full bloom, which I know decreases success chances. This year I will use plants potted last week and put them in the ground early May. I live in Emmitsburg. Also, what's a good way to collect and use the seeds?
Well, as far as transplanting those, I would either try doing it very early in the spring, especially the small little baby plants. If they can find those where they're small, they do it early in the spring. They can dig them up and transplant them then. The other option is to wait until they're dying back, when that foliage is kind of turning yellow and brown. At that point, they're going dormant. So if they dig them up at that point and transplant, that's a possibility. But it's amazing how large the root system is when you dig up a plant. It's quite large. As far as the seed, just allow those little capsules to turn brown and then harvest them and kind of just break them apart.
All right. And they obviously they produce seed, but do they spread typically by seed or do they spread by the root system?
They spread by seed very nicely. So, yeah, you can take those little capsules and just kind of break them apart and just kind of scatter the seed.
All right. And recently, because this is my favorite flower, my husband bought me a bunch of rootstock so that we could plant the rootstock for bluebells. I can't tell you whether it's worked yet or not, but that might be another option.
Right. Sometimes you can buy bare root plants from nurseries, and that works too.
All right. One more email question before we get to the phones at 866-780-9100. This one's from Kevin. He says, I'm going to plant a few apple trees. I've been researching matching pollinators, etc. Apparently, flowering white crabs make a good general pollinator. Adirondack is a smaller, more upright variety, which is good in my limited space. Is that a good one for southern Iowa?
Adirondack is a very good crab apple. It is an upright form. It's also very disease resistant. So it's a very nice crab apple variety. I have two myself in my yard. So, and if it's within like 50 feet of a apple tree, it probably should do a good job pollinating that apple tree.
All right. And he has a follow-up here. He says, a local nursery is selling Granny Smith apples from Wisconsin. The tag says they are zone 5 and ripen in September, October. Is that false advertising? I thought they were zone 6 and ripened much later.
Yeah, we don't recommend them for Iowa because they tend to mature very late in the year, oftentimes in October, and oftentimes after a hard freeze, which actually damages the fruit. So we typically don't recommend them, no.
All right. He was saying, worth a try or a waste of money? Sounds like he should skip it.
I would try another one.
All right. Let's get to the phones. Kevin is on the line in Kelowna. Hi, Kevin.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's your question?
Well, ironically, I did an asparagus patch last weekend. I dug a spot 3 feet wide by about 12 feet long, took all the dirt out. But when I put my crowns in, I put them in and spread the roots out instead of trenching them. And then backfilled, put a few inches of dirt on, and then put some manure and some phosphorus on it. Did I do that wrong? Is that going to work? I spread the roots like a dinner plate and put them about 12, 18 inches instead of trenching them in.
Yeah, Kevin, how deep was the trench? Like, was it like 5 to 6 inches or 8 inches deep, the trench?
About 8 inches deep. And what I thought I would do is then as the asparagus starts to come up, I would gradually just cover it a little more. Like I said, there's probably 2 or 3 inches of dirt on it now, a layer of manure and the phosphorus, and then I would gradually cover it as it came up.
Yeah. So what you did is perfectly fine, Kevin. We recommend actually what you did. So we put the crown about 6-8 inches in that trench, and we spread the roots and keeping the spear pointed upward. So you did exactly what we recommend to do. So there's nothing wrong there.
Okay. So when you not the brightest crayon in the box. So when you spoke of trenching them, I misunderstood. I thought you were supposed to. Okay.
Yeah, so I think you thought that you need to push it into the trench.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Well done, Kevin. That's good news, right?
Yes, it is. Thanks.
All right. You can give us a call with your question, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Warren is up next in Ames. Hi, Warren.
Oh, good morning. Thank you. I have it must be a 50-year-old, I think it's a yew bush tree sort of combination. It's about 12 feet high, and it's been lush and growing quite well. But the problem recently is that many of the edge tips of the branches are falling off, and they're very dry. They've turned dead, obviously, and they're dropping. But also some of the green tips have been falling on the ground as well. I'm wondering, has the plant given up the ghost after so many years? Or some years ago, I think I talked to you folks, and you suggested I put some iron around the plant because of the rain we were having. But I haven't had any problems since, and this just suddenly began to appear. And I wonder, is there something I should do?
Well, I don't think the iron is necessary as far as an application.
Right.
If the majority of the plant is still green, the vast majority,
Okay,
what I would do, I would just go out with a hand pruners, and I would just prune off the brown areas and leave it at that.
Oh, I see. So what was it, due to stress or in some fashion, the rain or?
It's not the rain. Maybe there might be some winter burn associated with that or responsible for it. But I don't think you have to worry about the overall health of the plant. I'm guessing it's pretty good.
Yeah, good. Thank you very much. I appreciate it as always. You do a great job, all of you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Warren. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Bill is on the line next in Fort Dodge. Hi, Bill.
Good morning. I wish to discuss the foxtail lily or desert candle or arum murus. Are they extremely difficult to get started?
I don't believe so. If you put them in a very sunny, well-drained soil.
I have done that, and I have planted maybe 15 of them from two or three different sources, and I have four total survived, and I don't feel comfortable requesting replacements from the vendors. I don't know whether to give up or what.
Well, are those four doing well?
Well, it's pretty early to tell for sure this season. One is, and one came, emerged and vanished, and two are going to be okay, I think.
Okay. Well, they typically don't like a wet soil. Basically, they like a well-drained soil and plenty of sun. Beyond that, that's basically what they need.
Well, they have that, and I'm frustrated, as you can tell.
Well, you might try maybe getting them from a different source to make sure they're good quality plants.
I have more than one source involved here, and I'm hopeful that some will still come up yet from the second source, but I'm just checking on whether they're historically tough to get started or what. And the other thing is, if I ever do get a mature plant, what would be your feelings about dividing them?
Oh, I wouldn't do that for quite some time, or try that for quite some time.
10 years, or what would you?
I would think maybe 10 years, right, or longer.
Okay. I see. Okay. Well, I thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Bill. Good luck with that. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And here's an email question from Mary in Des Moines. We have two hydrangea shrubs planted 2 years ago when they were both fairly small. The second year, which was last year, they grew very little, greened out, and had few flowers. This year, they've started to green up, but I wonder if we should prune them a bit. And if so, how much? Also, should we fertilize?
It all depends upon what type they are. And that's a key thing. There are a number of different types of hydrangeas. They grow differently. They bloom differently. And that's the key. For example, if they have the smooth hydrangea, which is a very, very old type that grows about 3 to 4 feet tall, that's all it gets as far as size. And it has these rather large, roundish flower heads. And they're white. And with those, you can prune those right back to the ground in early spring. And they'll come back, and they'll bloom again by basically early summer, midsummer. Annabelle is a very, very common smooth hydrangea. If they have a panicle hydrangea, That is a shrub that can get to be like 8 to 12 feet tall, and that typically produces a cone-shaped flower head that is usually white but then kind of fades to kind of pink. And with those, you would not prune those back to the ground at all, but you could kind of shape them up in early spring if you wanted to.
All right. And on fertilizer, that can, at least with some varieties, that affects the color of the bloom, right?
Not really.
Okay.
What you're referring to there is to the big leaf hydrangea. Oh,
okay.
And with those, the flower color is either blue or pink, depending on the acidity of the soil.
All right. So should she fertilize?
She can. She can use like a 10-10-10. I would just use maybe like a half a cup around each plant.
All right. And here's an asparagus email question from Kelly. Last spring, I planted two-year-old crowns in my backyard garden in Urbandale. The new plants seemed to thrive, producing vigorous ferns last summer. So far this spring, I have just a few spears poking through, 8 baby spears in 2 25-foot rows, to be precise. The spears I do see look healthy, about 3/8 of an inch in diameter. I wonder if I planted too deep. I received advice that I should plant 18 to 24 inches deep, not 6 to 8 inches, as I heard this morning. I planted Jersey Knight and Purple Passion hybrids.
Yeah, so, excuse me, I'm sorry to hear that they planted it so deep. That's too deep. And for the spear to come up that 2 feet, a lot of the energy is already lost in just coming up out of the ground. And, you know, the plant, the crown can be exposed to more compaction. I think the depth definitely made a significant impact here of not allowing more spears to come up. Ideally, the depth of planting is about 6 to 8 inches. Some folks plant a little bit more shallower. They might go to 5 inches, and you might get higher yields, but as the years progress, the yields decline. So that's why we want to keep it a little bit more deeper than 5 inches.
Okay,
typically
so at this
6 to 8.
What should Kelly do?
It's hard. It's only 2-year-old. If they can carefully dig the crown out without causing much damage to the crown, that is one option. I would be very careful when I do that because you don't want the crown to get damage and lesions, and that's an entry point for pathogens, you know, bacteria and fungi. So if she can carefully dig it out, that's okay. That's one way. Otherwise, you know, depending on what soil type it is, you know, things might improve. But looking at what's happening right now and the depth she planted, I think the best way is to dig it out and plant it back again.
Okay. Another, she has a couple follow-up questions here. Question 2, I heard this morning that it's not necessary to mulch. I did mulch my new bed. Is it harmful?
I don't think so. Mulching helps to suppress weeds. Mulching also helps to conserve moisture. So there's absolutely nothing wrong if you want to mulch your asparagus patch.
All right. And a third question. I visited the Lowe's Garden Center yesterday evening and saw asparagus plants right next to the herbs. The plants looked like very young seedlings and were labeled with a hybrid name I didn't recognize. I've never heard of buying seedlings rather than crowns. Is that an option?
When I was working on my doctoral program at Michigan State, I did work with some asparagus growers, and they were testing at that point growing transplants or establishing asparagus using transplants. So in the limited information we have, it does work, but the transplants have to be, you know, have to be healthy. You can use a regular, poke a small hole in a trench. And when I say trench, to clarify, this trench is about 4 to 6 inches wide. You can put your transplant in there and then cover it with the soil. So I have seen it working, although that's not recommended, because when you use a transplant, the time to harvest will prolong because the plant is not coming from a crown but a transplant, which doesn't have much energy.
All right. So when you say the time to harvest will be later, so are we talking 4 years? I mean, how long?
Yeah, I would say I would add additional year to it. So typically you don't harvest 2 years and you start harvesting a third onwards. In this case, you might not be even harvesting in the third year. You might be first harvest will be in the fourth year.
All right. So you have to be even more patient. Maybe
yes.
It's not worth worth that.
Yeah, yeah. I would say just go with a traditional way of planting using crowns.
All right, we are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment to answer more of your questions. You can give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me, Ajay Nair. He's an assistant professor of horticulture at Iowa State University and ISU Extension vegetable specialist. ISU Extension horticulture specialist Richard Geron is also here. And again, you can join us too, 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. With me, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist Richard Geron and Ajay Nair, Assistant Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State and Extension Vegetable Specialist. They're here to answer your questions, 866-780-9100, or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Let's get back to the phones. Ellen is on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Ellen.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
Well, I have a 9x20 garden patch that I had perennial flowers in. And last spring, I took out, I'm cutting back on my gardening. I took all the plants out that I wanted to save, cut the rest back, and I covered the area with black plastic. And it's been covered all summer, fall, and now spring. And we want to put grass in there. Are we best, or should we do grass seed, or should we do sod?
Okay.
And what's the best time to do it?
If you want to have grass immediately, I would buy sod. If you're willing to wait, I would sow grass seed in late August.
Okay, okay.
Typically when we sow...
My husband wants...
I was going to say, typically when we sow grass seed in the spring, we tend to get far more weeds than grass. And so if you want something this spring, I would use the sod. But if you can wait, I would sow grass seed in late August.
Okay. All right. Well, that's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number. Greg is up next in Iowa City. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Charity. Thank you very much to you and Ajay and Richard for hosting Hort Day. This is always a lot of fun to listen in and learn a lot. Question, this is follow-up from last August. We have a mature pin oak tree. It's about a 30-some footer, beautiful tree. I made the mistake last May, about mid-May, of having a tree service trim the tree. And it either stressed it, or we ended up with oak wilt, one of the two, and it was a very 50-50 on whether it was either one of those. It dropped all its leaves in August, and then which is very uncharacteristic for this pin oak. And then this year, it is starting to bud, albeit very, very slowly, and they're very small buds. So my question is this tree going to make it or not?
Only time will tell. I would say if it got oak wilt, a pin oak typically would die within a matter of 3 to 4 months. So very, very quickly. So if it actually leaves out this spring, then obviously I don't think it has oak wilt. But you probably really won't know until probably, let's say, mid-May. If it's leafing out nicely, developing a nice leaf canopy, I think the tree is just fine.
Okay, so hold off doing anything dramatic.
No. Right. Don't do a thing. Just wait and be patient.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all very much. And again, Hort Day is one of my favorites. So thank you all very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Greg. Next up, we've got Dave in Wesley. Hi, Dave.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Before I ask my question, he made a statement about the seedlings, planting them, and didn't think it was the best thing to do. I have three big patches, and one of them, the first one I ever started was with those seedlings. I put in about 50 plants, and that is the best asparagus patch I've got. In fact, when I get my asparagus about 2 to 3 weeks before it starts growing in the ditches, and it grows up faster than I can eat it.
Wow.
Anyway, my question is, I've planted crowns, and I planted these seedlings. I've had the best luck with the seedlings. The crowns, usually they're pretty slow coming along. But this year I thought, well, I'll go out and get some seeds and I'll plant, start my own and then transplant them. And they did about 30 of them about 2 weeks ago and nothing's come up.
Dave, I'm happy to know that you are working on the planting using the transplant. That's good to know that, you know, things are working at that end. When we planted from seed, so we grew the transplants in the greenhouse during the summer, and then we actually vernalized the plants. We put them in the cooler at 40 degrees Fahrenheit over the winter, and the next spring is when we planted. So I don't know if...
Really?
Yeah, so that way the plants got acclimatized a little bit to the cold, and we wanted to follow that protocol because that's what happens in an asparagus life cycle. The plants are exposed to cold. And then planted. So I feel in your case you just seeded the plants, the seedlings grew, and you directly put them in the ground, right?
Well, no, this I bought the seedlings from a store here locally.
Okay.
You know, they were about maybe 6-8 inches tall, but I decided this year I'm going to try and grow my own.
Oh, okay.
So I bought the seedling soil in the little pots and filled them up, put the seeds in, put a little water in them, and I got upset, and 2 weeks later, I've got absolutely nothing started anywhere. Am I not waiting long enough, or if I do something wrong? Or
I would wait a little bit longer on that. Sometimes now,
wait a little longer.
Yeah, as far as the seed, give them another couple of weeks or so to see if those seeds germinate.
Okay.
And as far as the seed, you got the seeds from a nursery or garden center, or
a garden center? Yeah. Well,
okay.
Yeah, they're just in a packet, you know. 1820 seeds, whatever they put in it.
Okay.
Yeah, and Richard is correct. When I didn't understand it correctly when you asked. So when you put it, put the seed in, it takes time for the seed to germinate. It's same with celery. You know, if you have grown celery from seed, it takes about 2 months, sometimes 2.5 months, to get the transplants. You know, kind of in a good stage. So it will take some time.
But I probably should have started them earlier.
Yes, that could have helped. You know, that way they would have germinated on time.
Okay, well, I'll just give it some more time, and thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm enjoying the jeebers out of this show.
Oh, well, great. Thanks a lot for your call, Dave. Next up, let's go to Craig in Mason City. Hi, Craig.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Great info on asparagus today. But my question is about plum seeds and how to get them started. A friend of mine has a 40-year-old plum tree, and the plums were pretty good. And I try to get the seeds to sprout. I can't get them to sprout. I'm also wondering if that would make a good rootstock for other stone fruits.
Well, if you take the seeds from a known variety and you plant them and it does grow, it's not going to give you that same plant. It's going to be different genetically. But as far as getting the seed to germinate, they have to be exposed to cool, moist conditions. And so you can plant them in the fall, and then the winter takes care of it for you, and then the seed germinates in the spring. Or you can do it yourself indoors, where you get a small container, you get some potting soil, you lightly moisten it, and then you bury the seeds in that moistened material in the container. You put the lid on, and then you place it in the refrigerator for basically three months or so, which approximates winter, okay? So now they've been exposed to the cool, moist conditions. Then you take them out, you plant them, and they should germinate.
Just in the refrigerator, not the freezer, huh?
Right. Because the temperature should be just above freezing, 35 to 40. The refrigerator is ideal.
Okay, great. Also, I had a question on asparagus. I don't know if you covered this. There's a male and a female asparagus. And do you recommend maybe trying to get an asparagus that's already grown in a ditch and put that in your garden?
So you are correct, Craig. There is a male and a female plant, and that's called the dioecious, where male and female flowers are on different plants. We recommend planting male plants because of the advantages of yielding higher. Males emerge earlier, and if you notice the female plant in the fall, they produce fruits. If you see those red-colored berries on the plant. So when the plant produces those berries, a lot of energy goes in that process. It's utilized in that process. So when you plant male, that energy can go back in the crown. So to answer your first question, yes, males are preferred. And your second question is whether you should dig the one in the ditch and plant it. Is that the question?
Yes. Put that in your garden.
Yeah. Well, I have not done it, so I don't know how things will be. This one in the ditch might be very old, and now when you dig it out, you might injure the crown, and I don't know how well it will adapt to the new condition. So
yeah, typically older plants, they're very hard to transplant because the root system of the crown is so big that oftentimes when you dig it up, you damage it so severely that it never really fully recovers and become productive again. So usually if it's been there for quite some time, I wouldn't try transplanting it.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your call, Craig. And we were talking about how you could plant an asparagus plant in your garden and you still have it when your kids go off to college. How long can those beds last and be productive?
Commercially, commercial growers have a patch for about 15 to 20 years. And after that, the productivity goes down, primarily because of soil-borne diseases, weather conditions. But if you are not a commercial grower, if you're just having in your backyard, the plant will be there for about 20, 30 years. You will notice that as the years roll by, the yield of that spear goes down. You'll get more thinner spears, and it would not be worth going and harvesting.
All right. Back to the phones. Next up, Andy in Pella. Hi, Andy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I kind of have a question leading off from where Craig left off. My parents have an established asparagus patch, and is there any way that I could transplant some of their plants or gain crowns from some of their plants and put those in my own garden?
I would say, I would reiterate what Richard just mentioned. When you dig established crowns, It's very hard for them to reestablish themselves in a new area. So I don't think so. That's a good idea. Might be better to buy new two-year-old crowns.
All right. If he's emotionally attached to that asparagus, I mean, he could sprout seeds, right?
If it was a female plant, yes, there would be seeds. But yeah, if you're emotionally attached, yeah, go at it. You can maybe dig one and bring it home and plant.
All right. But if you're just looking for a productive asparagus patch, that's not the way to go.
Yes.
All right. Next, we have Roger on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Roger.
Hi.
What's your question?
Okay. So my question is with regard to morels. I know it's about morel season now, but I've been looking around different areas, and I am having a hard time finding a good where are the good places to look for morels?
Boy, that's a little bit out of my area, but you typically go in the woods, and some people say you try to find places where elms once grew, people that know where they are don't tell other people.
Yeah, there are lots and lots of like Facebook groups about mushroom hunting, but nobody reveals where they actually find their mushrooms. So I think you have to just look.
Charity, here at Iowa State, Dr. Mark Gleason in the plant pathology department, he offers a mushroom workshop, like a morel mushroom workshop. So that would be something, Roger can look into. It's offered every year, I believe.
Right. Okay. I have heard about that.
It helps on the ID part of it, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, good luck with that, Roger. You're going to have a hard time getting people to spill their secrets, for sure. Betsy's up next in Des Moines. Hi, Betsy.
Hi. I was calling to see if you could give me some advice on all the creeping Charlie in my front yard. It seems to be taking over already.
Mm-hmm. It's starting to bloom here in the Ames area. It's very difficult to control if it's been there for quite some time and it's actually blooming, because if it's blooming, it's also going to seed.
Okay.
If it's a fairly new infestation, if it really hasn't flowered much at all, then I think it's much easier to control. And what I would do in that case would be to wait, actually, until fall and apply a broadleaf herbicide. Do it twice, about a month apart. So sometime between late September, early November, spray twice, and use a product that contains triclopyr, T-R-I-C-L-O-P-Y-R. Now, if you have an old bed, as far as the ground ivy's been there for several years, it blooms heavily, you're going to have a big seed bank in the soil. So you're always going to have those seeds coming up the following year. So that's going to be very hard to control. If it's really bad, I would probably go out maybe in early August and destroy everything. If you really don't have much grass, just destroy everything. You can do that with either Roundup or tillage, but destroy everything and then reseed in late August, early September. And then the following year, you may have to use a broadleaf herbicide in the fall on the seedlings.
All right. Good luck with that. I know that's something a lot of people struggle with. Let's do a few email questions here. This one is from Andrea. I have pepper seeds. Can I plant them directly into the garden? And if so, when or would it be better to start them indoors?
I would start them indoors under a more controlled situation, typically about 7 weeks before you intend to plant them outside. You can still...
So now.
Now, as soon as possible. As far as putting them outside directly, the weather conditions are so unstable that you may get very poor germination.
All right, here's a question from Josh. Last year, one of my four-year-old Alberta peach trees got black tips on the branches and lost its leaves very early in the fall. It also had very weak fruiting, like one sad peach. This spring, it looks dead. There are no buds. The other peach tree is already blooming. How should I dispose of this dead tree? And more importantly, can I plant another peach tree in this spot, or do I need to worry about disease?
I don't think you have to worry about disease. Just realize that peach trees are not reliably hardy in much of Iowa. And oftentimes, because of cold weather, whatever, most of them die within like 10 years of planting. So just be aware of that. And as far as planting a variety, I would probably try Reliance.
All right. And here's a question from Anna in Indianola. We would love to grow catnip in our backyard. Any advice?
Plant it. It grows very easily. Just understand that it sometimes gets out of control a little bit.
Right. So. And I'm not an expert gardener, but I do have a little bit of advice on this one because I have cats. If you plant it and there are outdoor cats in your neighborhood, you may not have a successful growth, because if you can't protect the young catnip plants from cats, it may not take off.
You may have to fence it or something initially, yeah.
All right. Well, we are out of time for today, but Richard Duran, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Iowa State University Extension horticulturist Richard Duran. Ajay Nair, thank you.
You're always welcome, Charity.
Ajay Nair, assistant professor of horticulture at Iowa State University and Iowa State University Extension vegetable specialist. We will be back again next Friday with Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Lindsay Moon, and Emily Woodbury. We had production support today from Chelsea Hoy. You can email us anytime, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at IPR Talk. I'm there too, at Charity Nebbe. Have a great weekend. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Coming up next, Fresh Air with Terry Gross, our News Buzz edition of River to River with Ben Kiefer at noon.